The following program is paid for by CHI Mercy Health Mercy Medical Center. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Each weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, Talking Health, presented by CHI Mercy Health. Now, here's Talking Health with Lisa Platt on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Welcome to Talking Health, and yes, I am your host, Lisa Platt. And today, we are going to have a great show. I've got the Healthy Kids Outreach Dental Team here with me today. Melissa Garza-Schmidt. We've got Sarah Ledford and Jessica Seminu, and they're going to talk to us about the school-based dental program. Trina could not be here today. She is our Healthy Kids Outreach Program Manager, as she is testifying up at the legislation level of some programs that we are endorsing through the legislators. So, ladies, welcome to Talking Health.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Oh, awesome. So, hey, Sarah.
Yes.
I got the first question. I got to get it off my chest. Could you tell everybody who won the Super Bowl yesterday?
That would be the Kansas City Chiefs.
One more time. Who won the Super Bowl yesterday?
The Chiefs, Lisa.
Thank you, Sarah. Well, why don't we start with you? Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came to Mercy Foundation, and how you got involved with the Healthy Kids Outreach Program?
Okay, so I am Sarah Ledford. I am married. I've got four kids and an English bulldog named Bubba. And we also have our first grandbaby on the way, so we're excited about that. I was born and raised in a little community just to the north of us, Cottage Grove in Lane County. And I have a background in medical and early childhood education and dental, which led me to my current position with the foundation.
Terrific. Shall we take you next, Jessica Seminu?
Sure, Lisa. My name is Jessica Seminu, not originally from here. I was born and raised in Sacramento, California, but I moved here in my early 20s and lived here for a few years, moved away to Brookings and decided I wanted to come back to Roseburg. I missed my home and my friends and saw that Mercy Foundation was hiring for the Healthy Kids Outreach Program. I had been working in the dental field for about 4 years by that point, and it just really interested me. So I applied and got the job and moved back to Roseburg and have enjoyed being back ever since. I've been with the program for about a year and a half now.
Terrific. So if you don't know this next person, her family is well known throughout the community. And yes, it is Melissa Garza-Schmidt.
Hello, Lisa. Thanks for having me. So, yes, I'm born and raised in Douglas County here and just enjoying our little son and happily married. And, you know, I worked at Rite Aid Pharmacy for quite some time, and I was a health and wellness ambassador there and district trainer, and I was recruited. And so that relationship and partnership worked well with Mercy Foundation, so...
Yeah. Well, ladies, I am glad you're here. You're going to talk with the folks about what we do with our school-based dental programs. But I think they need to know exactly what your role is. So, Melissa, why don't we start with you? What do you exactly do for the foundation and for that program?
Yes. So my current position right now is the dental lead. And with that position, I wear many hats. Part of what I do is working with our local resources and creating relationships and partnerships with local community partners. Another part of my position is I work with the administration side, and we host many events along with hosting many committees that I'm on. So, yeah, lots of fun things.
Terrific. Jessica.
I am the dental education specialist for the program. I have kind of a unique position. Not only do I help facilitate the dental learning lab, so I'm going into the schools helping provide that education and dental curriculum to the kids, but I also spend a lot of my time in the office. And we'll get into it more later, but our program requires consent forms, and I help manage all of that data so that kids can participate in our school-based clinics.
Terrific. Sarah Ledford, rhymes with Medford.
Yeah, so I'm the fun one. I am the dental services specialist, and I'm the one that gets to go into the schools and do the hands-on interactive learning with the kids, teaching them the learning lab.
Terrific. So I guess you all wanted me to talk a little bit about how the program got started. Is that the consensus?
Yes.
Oh, terrific. So back in 2010, we had an opportunity. We were approached by the Rural Action Initiative through the Oregon Community Foundation, and they wanted to know what was one of the number one issues facing our county. We gave them a lot of information, but we specifically talked about dental issues. So they put out an opportunity for a grant. We were awarded a grant, and that's how we started putting dental services into our schools. We first piloted it in a couple of schools, but eventually over the years we've grown. So we're in about 38 schools now. And in 2011, 2012 is when we really kicked off our dental learning lab, which is that opportunity to help kids learn, doesn't matter what age group they're in, but there are specific categories for each level of grades through K through 12th grade. And I know you, Sarah, and Jessica will talk a little bit about it. But the dental learning, the actual dental initiative, we provide sealants, fluoride varnish, we do what we call a report card, and if kids have some very bombed out teeth or have extensive abscess and caries, we try to get them connected into a dental home. So for those of you, maybe Sarah and Jessica, that's really the history of how we got going on this dental program. Ladies, would you like to ask me a question? Because I know that you have been probably working up one this afternoon. Okay, it's quiet, so we're going to just move on then. So guys, we already said that we're serving about 38 schools. Who can receive these services? Who wants to take that one?
So I can take that one. So our program is every kid receives our services. It's not income-based. It's not insurance-based. It's parental permission-based. So if the parents give permission and sign the kids up to go through the clinic, then they will receive the preventative screening. They can do the sealants on erupting molars. And there's no criteria that the kids have to fit to be in our program. And then the learning lab, all students come through the learning lab.
Okay. So how many partners do we have locally and in the state?
I'll take that one, Lisa. Right now, we are working with Oregon Community Foundation. We also are working with Family Ford Foundation and Cow Creek.
And I believe one of our big partners is DentaQuest / formerly known as Advantage Dental.
Yes, we have a great relationship with them.
Okay, terrific, guys. So when we talk about preventative services, and I briefly went over the sealants and fluoride varnish, what does that mean?
So the preventative services that we're offering are exactly that. We're trying to prevent having to have any kind of restorative work done for the kids. So we're offering that screening. We're providing the fluoride varnish. We're checking to see if the kids are ready for sealants on their molars yet. And if there's a situation where a child has a need that maybe they haven't already gotten the preventative care, we can help address that as well.
Now, Jess, if I'm not mistaken, you are formerly a dental assistant?
No, actually.
Oh, okay.
I have had the opportunity to get my feet wet since being with the program, which is one of the things that I love about my job, is that I'm given the freedom to explore. And I had always wanted to be a dental assistant and was lucky enough to get started on that this year.
And you worked for Advantage Dental in Brookings, correct?
I did, yes. I was the office manager there at the Brookings location.
So guys, how do we get the program started in a school? So in other words, what's some of the first steps that we have to do to get a school engaged in our program? It's Melissa.
That's me. So initially we meet with the principal and some of the office staff. We kind of find out what some of their needs are, and we work with them to schedule a time and see what works best with their schedule to come into the schools. And at that point, we're going to go ahead and schedule the clinic portion and then also the hands-on dental learning lab.
So how do you do that? How do you get the parents involved?
Yep. So we usually one of us will sit at a school and we recruit with the parents and educate them on what our services are. We educate the staff with that so they're knowledgeable of how to communicate with the parents or communications that go out as well with the communication to the schools.
And don't we have to get some consent forms completed?
Yes. As Sarah mentioned earlier, we have a parent consent form. It's a quick little questionnaire and approval of sealants and fluoride and all that. So we do recognize that we have their signature. We go ahead and collect those forms, and then that's handed off to Jess, and she enters all that data for us.
So what's the role of the hygienist and the assistant? Oh, it's Jess.
So when we are scheduled at a school, our dental hygienist will go into the school that morning, and they basically bring, for all intents and purposes, a mobile hygiene room with them. We have a portable dental chair, and they have all of their equipment and supplies that they'll need for the day. They have an assistant with them, so our hygienists are on site in real time giving these kids exams. It's a huge savings for the parents not to have to take that extra trip, and it's just that extra reinforcement of good oral hygiene habits. So that's what it looks like. We go into the schools, we set up a mobile office, and we begin our clinic process for the kids who have gotten that consent form signed.
And how many hygienists and assistants do we have in our program?
Seven each currently.
Terrific.
Seven hygienists and seven assistants.
So we have about two teams right now, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And each team can go either to the same school, if it's a large school with mm-hmm. the consent form return, or they can go to multiple schools, correct?
Correct. There have been weeks where we've been in three schools. Just depends on the size of the school and, like you said, the consent form return.
And then, Sarah, you like to try to do a dental learning lab when we're actually doing a clinic so that the kiddos can understand what's going on, correct?
Correct. In a perfect world, the learning lab would visit the school prior to the clinic arriving. That way we are taking away some anxiety and things that the kids might have visiting a clinic. It doesn't always work that way, but that's ideal, and that's what we shoot for.
So who do you work with at the schools? Is it the office manager, librarian, the administrative assistant?
It's a joint effort, Lisa. The secretaries are very helpful. There's a lot of principals that like to get involved. Even the IAs will get involved in the clinic in helping take kids to and from where our clinic is set up back to their classrooms. Librarians help us if we're in their space. The teachers come and help do the classroom management during the dental learning lab. So it really is a group effort. We definitely rely on the school's help.
And then real quickly, we can be in an office, a broom closet, in the gym, correct, for our clinics?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're flexible.
You all are very flexible. Okay, I think this is a great opportunity to take a short break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Talking Health on Local Talk at 4, brought to you by CHI Mercy Health on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hi, it's Lisa, and we are back with Talking Health presented by CHI Mercy Health. I hope you all will tune in for next week as we will have some representatives from Casa de Belen But today we are learning all about the Healthy Kids Outreach Program Dental Initiative with Melissa Garza Schmidt, Jessica Semino, and Sarah Ledford. Thanks, ladies, for coming back.
Thank you
for having us.
So I think, Jess, you're going to tell everybody what a basic screening score is.
Sure. So part of our process is that after the hygienists have provided the screening for the kids, they will essentially give them a basic screening score. And it's kind of a standardized score that the school-based programs have came up with. The highest level being the most urgent need is a 2, and then the levels continue down from there. Based on the risk level that the kid is categorized at is dependent directly on what they have going on. We see a lot of abscesses sometimes, and those are going to be the more urgent cases. Other signs of infection, swelling, or a lot of times active decay. And those are the most urgent needs. Those are the 2s. And then it just kind of goes down from there. Maybe kids have had cavities in the past, but don't currently have any because they've gotten them addressed. And then some kids have no signs of any decay or anything going on. That's really what we strive for and what we like to see.
Okay. So we talked about what is a sealant and why are sealants important, Sarah?
Yeah, so when I go into the schools and I'm teaching the little kids about sealants, basically I tell them that a sealant is a tooth helmet. It's a helmet for your tooth is the best explanation. We put them on kids' teeth. We know that most children are not the best at brushing their teeth, and your natural molars have lots of cracks, pits, things like that, which is where the sugar and food like to sit, and if you're not getting it off, then it creates a cavity. So we put the sealants on to help them out. It's just a coating over their molars so that that food and sugar is not sitting there if they're not doing really good at brushing.
Terrific. So what's fluoride and why is it important? And why is it important here in Douglas County?
So Douglas County, we do see, unfortunately, a lot of children with tooth decay or problems with their teeth. So fluoride is a mineral. It's a natural mineral that is we basically say it's nature's cavity fighter. So those sugar bugs and things on their teeth, that fluoride prevents that sugar from sticking to the tooth and causing a cavity.
So does Douglas County have fluoride in their water?
We do not.
Okay, so we need fluoride in order to fight some of this bacteria.
Correct, yeah. Some states do have fluoride in their water. Unfortunately, Oregon is not one of them.
Okay. So what are the elevated services that we talk about in these high-risk categories?
Sure. So in those kids that are high-risk, we have a product called silver diamine fluoride. Its job is to basically arrest the decay on a tooth, meaning if we can paint that on a child's tooth, it will effectively stop the decay process until that child can get into a dental provider to have that tooth treated. Another service that we offer is if we can see, like I mentioned earlier, abscess or sign of infection, we can provide an antiseptic rinse to the child to help combat that infection.
Okay. So when you're out visiting with the kiddos, and Sarah, I'm going to jump a little bit in the dental learning lab, how long do you tell the kiddos to brush their teeth and so we can avoid some of this?
So we tell the kids to brush their teeth for 2 minutes. So that's 2 times a day for 2 minutes. We do provide some grades, the little timers. We have the really cool little sand timers or the bubble timers. But I also teach the kids at the puppet station, which is a hands-on station that they get to brush our puppets' teeth. I sing the ABCs with them twice. So singing the ABC song 2 times is equivalent to 2 minutes. And so if they don't have that timer, that's another way that they can make sure they're brushing for 2 minutes.
Okay. So guys, we have a great relationship with the Oregon Health Authority. Why is that relationship so important?
So as an effort for school-based programs across the state to be aligning our services with the Oregon Health Authority, we follow their standards and their certification rules. So we apply each year. They come out and do a site visit, and then we work closely with our CCOs or DCOs, which is coordinated care or dental care, And we designate or let them know what schools we are working in, so it's not like double covered. And then by doing the school-based program, we're committed to not monopolizing the student seat time, taking them out of school. And then it's also enhancing the services that the school provides and then the reporting outcomes.
Okay. And how can, when we're out in the schools and we're providing the clinics, how can we get the parents involved?
There's a couple ways the parents can get involved. By volunteering with the Dental Learning Lab, of course. We always let the schools know. We plan each visit for the year well in advance. About 4 weeks before our visit, we call the school up to say, hey, just a reminder, we'll be there. And at that point, we give the school posters to hang around the school. We like it when schools can send it out in their monthly newsletter that will be coming. So parents have an opportunity to get involved in the Dental Learning Lab, and that's just sitting behind a station helping us run the station as the kids come through our classroom, or helping on the clinic side, helping take kids to and from their classroom as they get their screening.
Okay. Well, that's great. I got a compliment from a listener. They've already texted me to let me know they can hear you, and you're doing a great job. So keep it up, you guys. You're doing fabulous.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
So we talk about impacts and how impacts are very important to our program. Do you have some statistics that you'd like to share with our listening audience today? Is that just to?
Yes. Now, Melissa earlier, tried to give me all of her questions.
I got that
I'm
now.
Coming in here soon. No worries.
So statistically, yes. So I mentioned earlier that there is a basic screening score, and the highest urgency level is a 2. We've seen our number of 2s reduced by 10% since we started the program. And some schools have started out with no 2s this year, which is amazing. The ER visits for ages 12 and under for dental-related visits have been reduced by 63%, and dental caries has been reduced by 10% since the inception of the program.
So that's huge, because Kathleen knows we're tracking things that through ICD-9 or ICD-10 codes. And back in the day when we first started our program, the number one place that families would take a kiddo with an urgent dental need is the emergency room. Now, because of the program, we have been able to reduce that number by 69%. So that's huge, not only for our emergency room, but huge because that's a qualifying factor that we are meeting our matrix that we said we would do when we go ahead and apply for all of these grants. So kudos to, and I don't know if the hygienists and the assistants are listening to the show, but kudos to them. They're doing a terrific job.
Yes.
So what are some of the goals of our program? Anybody want to jump in on that one?
We're hoping you, Lisa.
Oh, you're hoping I would do that. Well, we would like to eradicate tooth decay, obviously. So that's what we strive to do. We're striving to hit more of the preschools. I believe right now we are doing about 10 of those that are connected to some of the elementary schools. We're hoping to do at least 10 more. We're hoping to get into some of our private sector because, again, every kid counts. It doesn't matter whether they're on Oregon Health Plan, doesn't matter if they're self-pay, it matters just that we can get to the kiddo before tooth decay starts, correct?
Can I add to that?
Absolutely.
I think the education piece that we provide is crucial, to be honest with you. There's so many kids that are so scared to be in a dental office. And if we can come in with fun activities, still teaching the fundamentals of oral health care, but easing some of that anxiety that the kids have, I think that's so important as well as the preventative services, of course. But if we can get kids comfortable, they're going to be comfortable adults in a dental chair, and they're not going to be scared to have that routine dental care.
And I want to make one more comment. If you all remember that Dr. Sutton used to be on the foundation board, and Kathleen might remember this, but when we first got that grant, one of the comments he made was, we have to start educating our kiddos about fluoride, because by the time they graduate, go to college, and they become the new legislators, they will be able to get fluoride in our water. Did you want to say something, Sarah or Melissa?
Yeah, I just wanted to say something else. Oftentimes when I'm in the school, I've had it a couple times actually, parents will say, well, I haven't signed my kiddo up for the program because I feel like I'm taking away from a child that maybe doesn't have insurance. And I just want parents to know that it does not matter your insurance level, if it's private pay, Oregon Health Plan, whatever. All kids get to go through the clinic. And we also want to make a point that you're not having to take time off work to take your kids in, or the kid isn't missing school. We come to you. And so that is a huge piece of the program, helping those parents out that they don't have to do that.
And along with that clinic side, when they are going through the screening process, we do send home a report card so the parents are able to see what was done on the child, if there's any notes that we need to take away from that. And I was just going to kind of testify, now that we have been in the school, some of the schools for a few years now, it's so awesome to see the kids when you come in. They're so excited to have us there. Even the staff, they're all very welcoming because they have seen the result and the benefits of us being in the school.
Terrific. Well, guys, I think we'll go right into our next break. So stay tuned. You're listening to Talking Health on Local Talk at 4, brought to you by CHI Mercy Health on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hi, we are back with Talking Health, and we are talking with Sarah Ledford, our Dental Learning Lab Specialist, Melissa Garza-Schmidt, who is our Dental Lead, and Jessica Seminu, who is our Dental Prevention Education Specialist. Thank you three for coming back. Guess what? You're two-thirds of the way, and you're doing an awesome job. So, Sarah, let's talk some more. We've talked about the clinics. We've talked about the fluoride varnish, the sealants, the assessment. Let's talk about the learning lab, because that truly, truly is that prevention piece through education that our friend Jessica has already mentioned.
Yeah, so the Learning Lab is really a hands-on interactive lab. The kids come through. There are six stations set up. Each station teaches a different activity. So they learn everything from the proper technique of brushing, how long they should be brushing, how much toothpaste to use on their toothbrushes, to flossing. And then we also go into making healthy choices, food choices that they can pick. Sugar's not going to affect your teeth the same way eating an apple as it is a Snickers bar. So we teach them those kinds of things, water versus soda. And then as we get into the older grades, we teach them the effects of drugs and alcohol on their teeth, things like that. So we cover a broad base of healthy things, and it all affects their oral health.
So let me make sure I can break it down. We have six stations for pre-K through elementary, and then six for middle school, and then six up to high school, 12th grade?
Yeah, so our curriculum is broken. It's pre-K to first, and then second and third, fourth through sixth, and then 7th and 8th, and then 9th and 12th, 9th through 12th.
And in that 9th to 12th, and I want to focus a little bit on that, we do talk about dental careers.
We do, yes. That is a part, or one of the stations that is set up. We go into dental careers as a dentist, a hygienist, or an assistant. We have maps showing them the different schools that are all over Oregon if they want to go in one of those professions, what the salary ranges are, how much schooling is needed after high school if they chose one of those professions. So we go into all of that.
And you also do one on piercings. Correct?
We did at one point. We talked about oral piercings. We've kind of revamped the curriculums recently so that we kind of, as the dental topics change in society, we're addressing those important topics.
Okay. And vaping and tobacco usage?
Yeah, we definitely, from the fourth grade up, want to educate kids on tobacco use so that they feel empowered and they have the facts about tobacco, what it does to not just their mouths, but their overall health.
And then one other one that I want to cover is the mouth guards when kids are playing sports.
Yep. That starts at fourth grade, and that goes through 12th grade of mouth safety, teaching them, you know, not to be chomping on ice, not to try to be tearing tape or opening packages with their teeth, things like that.
So, guys, tell me a little bit, when you're in the schools and you're watching the kiddos come through the dental learning lab, what kind of feeling do you have for the kiddos? Are they really enjoying participating in some of the activities? Because it is all interactive.
It is. And yes, the kids, they come in and they'll see the banners and the setup and they just get totally excited. They're, oh, I remember this from last year. And they, the number one thing that the little ones notice are the puppets. We have puppets, stuffed animal puppets that have a full set of adult teeth. And they look like they just have these giant, beautiful smiles. And that is the number one station that they all notice.
How many puppets do we have now?
6 puppets, I believe.
I know. Remember when we first started, we had 2.
Wow. Yeah, they are definitely the most popular ones.
So we've talked about how the clinics or the prevention dental learning lab changes by grades. What about volunteering? I know you got volunteers that are from the schools, but also, don't you try to get volunteers? You have a couple of organizations that volunteer. What do they do?
Yeah, so we have a lot of business partners. We have some from Cascade Community Credit Union, Umpqua Bank. Starbucks has sent the volunteers, the nursing students and dental students from UCC. So the volunteers come in. If they're volunteering for the clinic, they would be what we call a runner, where they are going into the classrooms and grabbing the kids that are up to go through the clinic to get their screening. If they're helping with the learning lab, they are positioned at each station. So each station, the group of kids come in and we split them up into groups. And so they go to each station for about 2 minutes and they're learning about the oral health of that station or what that station is about. So we really need a volunteer at each table to make sure that the kids are getting the most information out of that topic.
Well, what is one of the incentives that the kiddos get from the Dental Learning Lab?
So we give them a toothbrush kit, and in each toothbrush kit comes a new toothbrush, toothpaste, floss, and it's really cool. We have floss for the little bitties that are the flossing buddies because we know their little hands don't quite work as well. And then the older kids get the tear-off floss, and then we also hand out the timers, the bubble timers and the sand timers.
So I want to give a kudos to an organization that comes over to help put these kits together because
yes.
I think it's fabulous.
They are a huge help. We have some seniors come over twice a month, and they come for about an hour, and within that hour, they stuff anywhere from 700 to 850 bags in 45 minutes. And that is...
Brookdale.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say thank you, Brookdale, for...
Thank you, Sandy,
thank you.
And everybody.
Yes, and we enjoy their visit.
Great. So, Melissa, I want to talk now about that connection to care piece, which over the years we have called a dental liaison. Tell us about that role.
Yeah, so once we receive back the consent forms and we identify that too, Then we reach out to the parents, making sure they receive the report card. And we have that follow-up conversation, knowing that their child may have an urgent need or an abscess. From that point, it's a liaison's job to get that connection care if they need help with finding a dental home. Sometimes families experience different barriers, whether it's financial or just getting them to the office because of work schedules or whatever it may be. That's really a high priority on the dental liaison's position.
So is the dental liaison position somewhat like a dental case manager?
Yes, yeah. We work a lot with actually 16 local offices that we try to get these kiddos seen through. We work with a program that's called the Children's Program, which is also known as OEBB. If a child has no insurance, not OHP or private, we can approve this child up to $800, and it's free dental care for general services.
So what are some of the duties of the dental liaison?
Yeah, so part of those duties is recruits and coordinates and schedules outreach to dental services with the schools. And going back to the screenings, we actually go to the schools twice a year, in the fall and in the spring. So that's very important. The liaison is the one that kind of coordinates what that whole schedule looks like for the year, for the clinic and the hands-on dental learning lab. Also, let's see, they help make the appointments like that we talked about, and they expedite the referral. So if a parent is having trouble with working with the dentist office, being a school-based program, we're able to kind of make that referral go a little faster.
So when we talk about a dental home, what are we actually saying?
We're working with that family to create that dental home that this child is going to be able to come to, this family, working with one of our local dentists, that they're creating that atmosphere that that child's actually getting comfortable too, knowing that this is going to be a long process, whether it's just a cleaning or if there's going to be extensive care that the child's going to need. We do want them to feel comfortable because, you know, we have our teeth for the rest of our life.
So how many years have we been doing this dental liaison position or dental case management?
Yeah, so it's been since about 2013, almost 7 years.
And I believe now one of the reasons that Trina couldn't be here today is because she's working with the Oregon Coalition to try to get the legislators to pass that this dental liaison will become the community oral health coordinator.
That's true. Yeah, she's been working with them for quite some time trying to get this bill passed. There's obviously a process that has to be approved and go through. So, yeah, go Trina.
So what are some of the additional responsibilities of that role and the fact that we have been fulfilling it for quite some time?
I feel like the liaison position, again, wears many hats. It goes back to really those consent forms, you know, going to registration, educating the parents, educating the staff, and making that connection to care for these families.
Okay, well, guys, we're going to take our last break, and then we're going to come back and wrap up. So stay tuned. You're listening to Talking Health on Talk Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We are back with Talking Health, and we are going to wrap up with Melissa, Jess, and Sarah. But before we go to the wrap-up, I know Melissa's got a few more things she needs to say, so go right ahead, Melissa.
I got to get off my chest here. So I really wanted to let the community know that if these parents ever get in a situation that they're having barriers. We also have, through the Mercy Foundation, which is called the Children's Healthcare Fund, and through that fund, we're able to provide gas vouchers for these families if needed. Back to that liaison position, though, that liaison position also works with our school-based nurses, and so if that nurse sees a need with a family or a child, then the liaison will actually work with these families and the school-based nurse.
Okay. So, guys, you do more than just work within the schools. You also do some events. And I know Kathleen wants to put a plug in for her safety day, kids safety day. So is that you, Jess?
That's me.
Okay.
So we, in addition, during the school year of providing the dental learning lab and dental clinics, in our off time, we also participate at the schools in family nights. There's a lot of health fairs that go on in the schools after hours. We do a dental day at the library. Of course, we do the Festival of Trees Kids Day that we focus on. But one of our biggest events is the Costco Safety Fair. CHI Mercy Health co-partners with Costco, and it's just a great event for all of the partners in the community, from fire and ambulance, different community or community organizations like YMCA. We Healthy Kids Outreach have a booth there as well. It's just a really great event. It's free for kids, lots of giveaways, and it's just a great way to spend an afternoon with your family, connecting to different opportunities within the community.
And I want to say thank you to the community, because the Healthy Kids Outreach program is 100% funded by you. These are grant-funded positions. Our hygienists, our assistants, it's all grant-funded, and through the generosity of our Douglas County communities and funders, you believe in making sure every kid gets the opportunity to get dental care. So I want to say thank you. Big funders again, I think Melissa has already mentioned Oregon Community Foundation, Pacific Source, the Ford Family Foundation, Cow Creek, and many others. So thank you again for everything you've done to make this program so successful in Douglas County. So guys, we're going to get ready to wrap up. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to say one more thing that you can leave with our audience. So I will start with Jess.
Naturally. I am very grateful. We are instilling good oral hygiene habits in our youth and their skills that they can take with them throughout their life so that they have a healthy mouth, which, as we all know, affects your overall health greatly. So very thankful that we can reach kids at a young age and help them have good hygiene habits.
Sarah?
So I am the newbie of this group, and so this was my first year of going to Festival of Trees, and I was really taken back at that event, just sitting there watching those people raise their number to volunteer or to just hand money over for nothing. It wasn't the silent auction. It was just the throwing up their number to give money away. And that was huge. And so I would like to say thank you to Douglas County and those generous donors that you guys just went above and beyond. I know our program totally exceeded our goal this year. I think our goal, we exceeded the goal. So we were good there. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Melissa?
So I'm going to kind of play off that, Sarah. I just want to say that I'm so blessed that I'm one of the many that can kind of see the work that's actually being done. I'm hearing the voices of the parents that they're very, very thankful that we're able to help and catch some of these kiddos with the dental side. We're firsthand within these schools. I've seen the kids excited to go through our dental learning lab. So just being part of this big picture that for Mercy Foundation that has a vision of what we can do with our community, it's so awesome to be a part of that.
And one more time, I want to also thank Advantage Dental, DentaQuest, Umpqua Health, Aviva, You all have been great partners, and we appreciate your ongoing support. And, of course, our school districts. We couldn't do it without the school's support. So, ladies, you did a terrific job. I'll let Trina know you were awesome. Thank you, Sarah Ledford, Jessica Semino, and Melissa Garza-Schmidt. Next week, we will be having our friends from Casa de Belen here. If you have some topics for future shows, my friend Kathleen Nichols, she just waits by her email. You can get a hold of her at mercycommunityrelations@chiwest.com, or please Facebook her. She's always looking for those Facebook messages. Right, Kathleen?
Oh, yes.
All right, there you go. Talking Health is presented to you by CHI Mercy Health. We are pleased to sponsor this show here on Mondays on KQEN, a local talk at 4. So on behalf of Mercy Medical Center, please, please remember to be kind to one another, eat healthy, exercise when you can, and have a happy, healthy week.
The preceding program was paid for by CHI Mercy Health Mercy Medical Center. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.